Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Thick Skin Podcast, where the most value comes from the most uncomfortable conversations. I'm your host, Espy, and today we're going to be talking about my Mean Girls College experience. Let me tell you, this one was literally the most unexpected moment ever, I would say, in like my last semester of college. And like, you would think being in college, a fourth year in undergrad, nearly about to graduate, you wouldn't be experiencing things such as like bullies, mean girls, or just people in the same room constantly giving you dirty looks. But I would say, based on my experience, like, these are things that still happen in college, and I'm sure I'm definitely not the only girl that has gone through this. It happened to me kind of like months ago, right before, you know, I was done at Sac State. And unfortunately, this story still leaves me kind of in shock to this day. And I wanted to share what happened at my one and only dearest school, Sacramento State. I want to dive into the tea, but in order to do that, I, of course, have to give context, some background of the situation I was in, and why it was just very hard for me to kind of like avoid or not be a part of. And it, of course, starts with being on campus as a fourth year. I was a full-time student at the time, working literally three jobs, which was more than full-time. It was really insane. I don't know how I did it till this day. I don't know how I lived. And looking back at myself then, now, like, I'll look at pictures of myself, or I just try to self-reflect, like, how things went down. Did I enjoy that time? And as much as I did, I felt like I was in the most unhealthy version of myself possible. I just looked bad, first of all. I had so much acne from how stressed I was. I had it like all around. Sorry if this is TMI, but I at the time, I remember I had it like on my jawline, my chin, like sometimes on my forehead. And I know it had to do with the immense amount of pressure I was under. And my eating habits were really bad. Like, I'm not even talking about what exactly I was consuming so much. I'm referring to like my actual eating schedule. I would have like these crazy 16-hour work days on campus, and I wouldn't eat until like nighttime, or like I would eat for the first time at a very random time of the day, like let's say 2 p.m., 3 p.m. And it was really bad just because of how busy I was. Just looking back at it now, I wouldn't suggest any like fourth year about to graduate college to do what I did, as I didn't really get to enjoy graduation season as much. Yeah, I was just very hyper-focused on my career, my experiences within my work endeavors, and I was kind of letting go of like my personal well-being and my mental health. And I just feel like it was definitely failing, but that's completely a story for another day. So at Sacramento State, I actually worked for the Sacramento State's athletics department, and they brought me in to focus more on their social media and marketing, which till this day I'm so grateful for. And like, I remember like each game I would work on campus, I would be left in such awe by like the football team, the baseball team. I was working also basketball season, like literally the audience, the fans, the students, the games were like so much fun, so much energy. And I would say that looking back, even though I was so busy, like witnessing all of this like magic and history being made, it was definitely worth the late nights and the lack of like studying for my own exams. And I don't know, it was just very, very magical to witness. Apart from athletics, Unique is actually a student organization on campus, and it kind of gives off the vibes of a club because of the amount of students that are in it and how we all kind of become like a friend group. And basically, these student volunteers run, produce, and put on events for students on campus. In my case, within Unique programs, I was not a volunteer for Unique, but I worked alongside the marketing director at the union as a social media marketing assistant. And it, till this day, was one of the greatest, hands down, like experiences of my life, as I learned so much from my boss there. Concerts, shows, every single Wednesday and every single Thursday. And these were like the main events where we would kind of like, all of us as friends, all of us within the student organization, the volunteers, like we would all get together, see each other. And like I said, we all quickly became like a friend group. We would hang out on campus, off campus, And it wasn't until one random Thursday night where I was outside working on this event for the night. I was upstairs in my office, and it was approaching time where I had to go downstairs and begin approaching the show that we had that evening. And I went downstairs when I was approached by some student volunteers who were my friends. They were kind of just like, oh, SB, like, there's this new volunteer, and we're just going to call this girl Jezebel. And they're like, SB, like, there is this new volunteer. Her name is Jezebel. Like, she really wants to meet you. Like, she specifically said that she wants to meet you. She's really cool. She's really sweet. And she said that she really likes, like, the stuff you do on social media for Unique, and, like, she wants to meet you. And this immediately caught me, like, off guard and shocked and kind of happy, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, a girl thinks, like, I'm cool enough, like, she wants to meet me, and, like, she wants to be friends and, like, potentially hang out. Like, I was excited. And so I was like, hell yeah, like, introduce me to this girl, I'm so down to meet her. And so they brought me to this girl. It was, I wouldn't say it was awkward, but, like, she was just like, hey, like, I've seen your work on social that you do for Unique, and all the marketing and social media work that you do with promoting the events, the shows. Like, you are so talented. Like, you do such a great dog. Oh my God, such a great dog. I mean, you do such a great job, like, hosting these events. And I just want to say that I recognize your hard work, and I think you're really cool. And I was like, so in awe, and I was so appreciative and happy. I almost teared up, because I was like, people kind of like recognize me and knows me as like the social media guru, but if I were to ever get a compliment, it'd more so be about my like own personal work. And the fact that someone complimented me on my like work for that I do for other brands, like, this means a lot to me. And I told her this. I was just like, I am so thankful for your compliment, and I feel like not ever do I hardly get complimented for a work I do outside of my own stuff. So I told her thank you. And yeah, it just overall felt really, really good. And so this interaction at the time didn't at all cross my mind, and I never double thought it. It wasn't until later I realized why this whole interaction was and the true intention behind it. Jezebel also at the time had like this best friend slash roommate, let's call her Sam. And Sam was kind of like really new to the group Unique, the student org at the time as well. I met her alongside Jezebel. However, Sam's vibe and aura was just completely like different. Like, just, I don't know. Like, it was very obvious to me that like Sam, unlike Jezebel, couldn't really maybe fake conversation or fake being nice. And I'll get into more why this is later, but I just assumed at the time, I remember I was clueless at the time. I was like, oh, maybe she's just more introverted, or I don't know. But then I would see her talking to like the rest of my friends or like our mutuals in the group or in person. I was just like, oh, I wonder why this guy, like, or I wonder why this girl is just kind of like not really has like bothered to talk to me. I was just more confused. But as time went on, I would see them around work, and I would see them at events twice a week, and then throughout the whole week. Of course, we would work together planning events here and there. And as time went on, every time I would see Jezebel and Sam, it was always cordial, always nice, hi, bye, but it just felt like this energy at the time, it just felt off. And we would do small talk. Of course, I started to see like this very weird pattern of like them asking like my friends and I'm not gonna say my friends, because we were all a friend group. Like, I'm not the type that's like, oh my god, they're my friends. Like, no. But they would kind of like ask and make plans within the group without inviting me specifically, and they would go out and stuff. And I ended up being the one that was just left out. And I was like kind of confused, because before they weren't in the group, it was never really like this. And I was just like, why is this happening? But also at the time, I didn't really stress or think about it so much, because I had other things that I was like really stressing about and worried about at the time, like getting to work on time, getting to classes, studying, doing my homework. And with how hectic my schedule is, like, that's all I could really bother worrying about. Apart from like worrying though about my own things that I had going on, there is this guy that I actually really liked at the time, and I'm just going to call this guy Pete. Let's just call him Pete. And this is a huge aspect to the story, and I'll touch on it briefly without going into too much detail because I don't want it to be too obvious that it's about Pete, even though he's 99%. I'm 99% sure that he's not listening to this, but at the time, Pete and I definitely liked each other, had feelings for each other. I knew he did, but I never told him that I felt the same way. However, at this time of my life, I was always just way too busy to see him. It was just a lot, and I couldn't give Pete the energy that I felt like we deserved. And I still to this day think that if I was able to, I feel like things right now would be much different. If just like timing and my schedule wasn't so hectic. And I think things fall right into place how they should be and how they belong, like they are right now. But I think at the end of the day, things happen for a reason, even though things went differently than I think we both wanted. And I would say I noticed that my own quote unquote friend group began to hang out without me with Jezebel and Sam. Don't know who was essentially the reason or why I was being left out or who was doing the leaving out, but I'm pretty sure it was Jezebel and Sam that were doing the planning of hanging out. And it wasn't until this one random day, Jezebel put in our girls only group chat asking who wanted to go clubbing. And I remember I opened the message, I read it, and I left it at that. Most of the girls responded to Jezebel saying like, yeah, I personally didn't really like consider it because I thought it was kind of weird since they already hung out without me several times. I was like, they've already like kind of become friends, maybe closer friends without me even in the picture. And then I was just thinking to myself, they've been hanging out without me several times. Like, why is it all of a sudden they're kind of including me in this conversation? It was just so weird. After a few girls wrote in like, yeah, I'm down, like, let's go. Jezebel specifically called me out and said like, quote unquote, SB, like, are you down? Like, let's go. And at the time, I wasn't the only girl in the group chat that said or did not say that they were going or not. And I was like, why did she specifically call me out if like, you know, they've been hanging out without me? And I remember I saw that one of my good friends, let's call her Ruby for the sake of the episode. Ruby was going, and I really, really liked Ruby, and I liked hanging out with her. And she lived in the same apartment complex as me at the time. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm coming. Mainly for Ruby, because Sam and Jezebel, I feel like I didn't really know them as much, and I didn't feel fully comfortable to go with them like by myself. Like, that would just be like really, really weird. I mainly went to hang out with Ruby, and I kid you not, even though I put in the group chat like, yes, let's go, let's do it, I got ready, showered, did my makeup, put on a very cute outfit, I was all ready, and I spent like 20 to 30 minutes pacing in my living room debating if I actually wanted to go or not. Usually this never happens. When I get ready, put on my outfit, makeup, like, I literally feel so good at the end of it all that I just want to go out, be seen, I'm excited, whether that's like dinner, a bar, grocery shopping, dancing, a club, random errands, Target, whatever it is, I'm just like excited because, you know, I got ready, my outfit's cute, my makeup's cute. But for some reason specifically, tonight, something fell off. I know it was the girls that were kind of leaving me out of things, the friend group. I, of course, always made excuses and give people the benefit of the doubt. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's because they asked me to hang out with them one time and I said no because I was too tired. And maybe they just felt like, oh, I'm not going to invite SB because she always says no, whatever. Like, I feel like I'm the type of girl that always gives people excuses. And I'm just like, you know, like, this girl was like asked me if I wanted to go out with them in the group chat. Like, okay, maybe this is a sign. Like, I should try to like warm up to them, and like, you know, maybe I'm just thinking all wrong. So, like I was saying, I was in the living room and I was just like pacing back and forth. I had this feeling in my stomach. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go or not, even though I was already ready. And my roommate at the time, I kid you not, is a literal witness that I stood there and debated for like 10, 15 minutes. And I told her, I remember I was like, I have this feeling in my stomach. Like, I literally don't know if I should go. And I really wish I would have listened to myself because, as I say, as always, like, trust your gut. If you feel like something is off, please, for the Lord, if you believe in the Lord, like, trust yourself and don't be silly like me. Listen to your heart and your stomach to avoid something like this happening to you. Before I get into what exactly happened at her apartment, I kid you not, when they invited Ruby and I in and we, like, stepped foot in their house, they didn't even really say hi to me. Like, I swear, when I walked into this house and they opened the door, they weren't necessarily, like, rude, but I guess they just didn't have the best of manners, because when I walked in, like, you know, you're excited, you're about to go to the club together, like, it's gonna be like a little girls' night, you hug, whatever. They didn't say hi to me, they didn't hug me, they didn't even really even acknowledge me. They were just like, oh, y'all, like, come in. And then it was just that, and I just thought it was so odd, because it was just like an overall, like, weird energy, and I felt very confused. And I walk in there with a smile, laughing, trying to make conversation. And it just, not only Jezebel and Sam, but like the girls, the group of girls that we were going with that I thought were my friends, it was just very different. And I kid you not, we, like, 10, 15 minutes goes on within the pregame at our apartment. And I think she realized that the way she was acting wasn't necessarily the most right, and she ends up coming up to me like 15 minutes later, and she's like, oh my god, SB, like, I didn't realize, I didn't really even, like, hug you or say hi, and you look so beautiful. And then, like, she gives me, like, this half hug, and it was just, oh my god, like, thinking about it now gives me chills, because it was just obviously, like, so fake. But of course, her roommate Sam, on the other hand, whom I mentioned earlier, did not say one word to me. Like, it was very obvious, like, their dynamic towards me were like, you know those moments where probably you and your best friend, like, talk about someone or had, like, similar experience about someone, and you talk about that person, and then when you see that person in person, like, obviously you can't, like, talk to them or be fake because, like, you talk about them. So it was very much that energy where it was obvious that the both of them talked about me, where if they were, like, to be seen talking to me, they would be considered as, like, fake or just two-faced or just inauthentic. And that was just very evident to me, and I felt this energy from the both of them while we were pre-gaming that, like, I really shouldn't be here, like, it didn't feel right. And I remember, like, I probably still have the text of me texting my sister and being like, this feels really weird, like, I feel like I shouldn't be here right now, I don't feel like these girls have my best interest at heart. And I was definitely right from where this night was going. And here comes the heartbreaking part, the shocking part, and the, like, the weirdest thing. Like, on the surface level, it probably wouldn't be a big deal if there was just, like, honesty that went into it. But it was just so odd that I had to share the story. So we were all in the kitchen in Jezebel's and Sam's apartment, and there were maybe like 7 of us total, and everyone was chatting, asking each other questions. But I noticed that, like, every time I would talk, like, Jezebel and Sam couldn't really look at me or look at me in the eyes, or if I were involved in a conversation or if I would try to include them, it was just like very, they wouldn't look me in the eyes. They were, like, smiling, talkative, but then, like, when it came to, like, me trying to conversate with them, like, it was just different. And that's already kind of like a red flag sign in body language. And I remember we all put up our shots, and my good friend Ruby wanted to cheers to, like, a single night out. And then she kind of went to the group and was like, cheers to, like, a single night out. Like, we're all single here, right? Like, you know, let's go out there, have fun. And all of us were like, yeah, like, we're all single. And then, like, people look over to Jezebel because she was kind of quiet. And then while talking, she was like, oh, well, actually, like, the truth is, y'all, the reason why I texted you so last minute is because, like, I've been talking to this guy, and we're going to meet up, and he's actually going to be at the club that we're going to together. like tonight. And all of us, I remember, like, got like really excited for her. Like, we're like, oh my God, like, really? That's really exciting. I remember someone was like, how does he look? Tell us who he is. Like, I remember I asked, like, oh, is he a student? Like, does he go to Sac State? And she kind of responded, like, kind of secretive. And she was like, yeah, like, he actually works there at the club. He works in the Latin room. And for me specifically, this was my second time ever going to this club at the time, maybe three times. But I remember it was a minute since I've been last. And I can't really recall, but I was like, oh my gosh, like, the guy you're talking to works in the Latin room. Like, is he Latin? Is he Mexican? Like, she was like, no, it's actually pretty private. Him and I like to keep it private. And yeah, I just feel like it's best if I just keep it like that. And then all of us kind of like, we're like, okay. Like, I don't know. As girls, like, when we're talking to a guy, at least for me, I get excited. Maybe I don't like mention his name, but I'm like, oh, this is how he looks like. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just exciting, you know? And just Sam looked very sus, because of course Sam knew who he was, but Sam was just like laughing and stuff. And like, still, like, while they were talking to me and answering my questions, they wouldn't look at me. And I was like, what the heck? This is so weird. Like, what is happening? And like, after she said that and brought it up, while we were at the house still getting ready to leave, I kid you not, she was just yapping about this guy the whole time. Like, she was just like talking about him, and then she was texting him too, and like, she was hiding her phone's room to make sure that no one was looking at her phone or her text. And I was like, what the heck is happening? Like, why is this so secretive? Like, and I remember one girl too specifically asked her, like, oh, like, are you sure you want to take your jacket? Like, you don't want to be carrying it around in the club, you know? And then she was like, yeah, like, he's actually going to hold it for me. And yeah, we've been talking. It's been going really well. Like, and then I remember she vividly say, like, I have this guy wrapped around my finger. Like, I have him right where I want him. Like, I'm just playing it cool, playing hard to get, blah, blah, blah. She was just talking about this guy, but, like, she wouldn't tell anyone in the group who it was. And in my head, I was just like, okay, girl, like, no one wants a recipe to your peach cobbler. Like, if you're going to be yapping about this guy, like, at least give us the tea. Like, tell us who he is. Like, we're all excited for her. And right before we leave, we were actually, like, pre-gaming still in this girl's house. And I had to use the restroom, and I asked her, like, where the restroom was, and then she ends up walking me to her restroom in her bedroom. And when I walk into her bedroom, of course, it was just me. She actually had, like, this big whiteboard in her bedroom with her, like, weekly schedule on it. And I remember this, of course, was, like, a weekend that we were going out. Oh, my God. I feel like my heart is dropping just by talking about this. But I could see her schedule from, like, the next weekend. And I wasn't at all being nosy. It was literally just the whiteboard was, like, plastered right in front of the bathroom. And her schedule essentially said, next Saturday, lunch date with Pete, ? And then in my head, like, everything kind of made sense. Everything came down on me. My feeling in my stomach from the whole night went away because I got clarity of why everything was happening. I immediately knew and had a feeling why I was in this scenario. And I was like, okay, she's dating or talking. I don't know what it is, but she's talking to the guy that I just recently stopped talking to. This girl knew. I want to sit here and say that I don't know how she knew, but like, all of our mutual friends knew of me and Pete. And I was just kind of like shocked because I was like, oh my God, like, how could this be? Like, this girl really dragged me here. I don't know why she dragged me here when she doesn't even have like my best interest in heart. And I was just kind of like shocked. And I was just like, oh, I remember when I had Pete's name like in my planner, you know, those days where like it's leading up to meeting up or going on a date and stuff. I don't know. It was just very crazy. But then in my head, I was like, no, this can't be, because my Pete doesn't work at a club. Like, what? When Pete and I talked, like, he worked somewhere else. Like, he didn't work at a club. And I was like, I don't think this could be my Pete. Like, there's no way. But then, I don't know. It seemed like it matched. It seemed like it didn't. I used the restroom, and then I ended up texting my sister. And I was like, oh, my gosh, she has Pete's name on her whiteboard. Like, the guy, like, she's talking to Pete. Like, she's talking to my Pete. And then my sister was just like, dude, like, you're probably, it's probably not him. Like, he doesn't work at a club. Like, why would it be him? And I was like, I just have this feeling. I have this feeling that it's him. And then in my head, we call the Uber, and we, like, start leaving. And I'm just like, butterflies in my stomach, because I'm like, if I see him or if I lock eyes with him, I'm like, I don't want to have this feeling. And I was just confused. But then I was like, Pete doesn't work at a club. Like, it's a different Pete. It wasn't my Pete at the time. But I do remember that when we kind of stopped talking, he mentioned did having a new job, but it was like a driving job. But I was like, clubbing, driving doesn't really go together. So I did have an idea or hopes that it wasn't this Pete. And at this time specifically, the way I'm describing it is at that time, like, emphasize at that time, I did still have feelings for Pete when I crush on a guy or like him. Or those feelings for me personally don't just go away, especially if you, like, kind of shared maybe like an intimate conversation or just intimate moment. And some of my friends within this group, of course, knew that I had that with him. And we go to this club, and immediately, like, we step out the Uber, and the first thing that Jezebel says when we step out the Uber is like, oh, if you want, like, from here on out, like, we could separate, like, we don't have to be together the full time, but I just kind of wanted us to kind of, like, arrive together, hang out together, but, like, we don't have to be together the whole night. And we kind of just looked at each other, we're like, oh, okay, like, I personally never been, like, to a club with, like, a group of girls where it's like, oh, yeah, let's just all separate, especially, like, for safety reasons, you know? So, you know, I was just like, okay, we'll do our thing. The seven of us walk in, and this girl is, like, grabbing us and racing around each room to find him. And in my mind, still going into this club, I was just like, no, like, it's probably not even Pete, like, at least not my Pete at the time. And it was very obvious as she was, like, dragging all of us girls to each and every room in this club that she was just, her goal was just, like, to find this man, and he's nowhere to be seen. And in my stomach, I just had a feeling that it was him, but I was just hoping that it wasn't him, or else it would be really awkward for me and for us, and especially if he was now talking to a girl within my friend group. And it wasn't until she was at one point in front of me in the club, and since, of course, it's dark in the club, it's really easy to notice or see what someone's doing on their phone screen. And I see his Instagram username on her phone, and she's messaging him, and I'm like, okay, yep, it is my Pete. And I'm not gonna lie, my heart kind of did shatter, not so much because of him, but because my whole entire friend group and how these girls were treating me and how everything kind of made sense, why she specifically asked me to come to the club even though they've hung out multiple times without me beforehand. And then I was like, maybe it was a coincidence, but then I'm just like, no, it's very obvious and clear to me that this girl kind of brought me just to kind of rub in my face that she's now with Pete or talking to him or whatever it was. And I haven't talked to him in a really, really long time, like a minute. I shouldn't say a long time, but I didn't talk to him for a minute at this point. And it was just very interesting because as she was dragging us around, like, he was nowhere to be seen, even though I saw her messaging him on her phone at this point. As the time went on, she was vividly getting, like, more annoyed, irritated, kind of sad, angry. Instead of dancing, like, she was kind of, like, sitting on the couch. And halfway into the night, though, my good friend Ruby and I kind of, like, separated from the girls because our goal, like, Ruby and I, like, our goal was to dance around each room and have fun. And her goal, obviously, was very different. Like, he had plans to meet up with her, talk to her, or whatnot. And it just didn't happen. I kind of felt bad for her, I'm not gonna lie. If the guy kind of, like, got my hopes up, excited, I got ready to go to the club in hopes to meet with a guy that I was talking to at the time, I would be sad too if he kind of stood me up in a way, even though he works there. Like, he works there, but, like, but he was nowhere to be seen. So I was kind of confused, like, why did you kind of talk to this girl and make it seem like you were going to meet up with her and talk to her, and she brought her jacket so you could hold it for her, and you just didn't ever show face. And I more so wasn't angry at all at Jezebel. I didn't feel any kind of remorse towards her. I more so felt bad in this moment because it was obvious to me that Jezebel and Sam's intention was to kind of bring me along to show me that she was now talking to him. But it just didn't go that way. And I know you're probably thinking, like, SB, maybe Jezebel was 100% as clueless. Maybe she had no idea that you and Pete were talking. I'm not even finished with the story. Like, this is the exact reason why I kind of disagree with that statement, because my sister said that too. But I remember later on in the night, after Ruby and I kind of separated, we danced, we did our own thing. We met back up with the girls, and if I thought that she couldn't talk to me or look me in the eye earlier, at this point of the night, it was like 100 times worse. This girl, like, her energy, like, she was obviously annoyed by that whole situation, but it was like 10 times worse. Like, she did not want a thing to do with me. Like as if I had something to do with the fact that her plans with Pete didn't work out or whatever, or he didn't show up right. I still to this day don't know what happened, because he simply wasn't there at that time. And I thought it was bad back at her apartment, but at this time, when the night was kind of ending for us, it was worse. And her roommate Sam was like eyeing me down like crazy, and she ended up, like, Jezebel ended up dancing, like, later on with, like, 3 different guys, which, I don't know, whatever made her feel better because of what happened, like, I was like, do your thing, girl, but I'm not here for any bad energies or vibes. I was lucky enough where I had a Ruby, and I also knew, like, 3 of the DJs at that club from hiring them to do some shows for us at Sac State. And I was doing my own thing. I was not allowing people's negative energy to get to me. And right around midnight, probably close to 1 a.m., I ended up wanting to call the night for me specifically, because although I was having a good night, I was overall just super uncomfortable by the whole situation. And also, Ruby and I Ubered there together, as well as our plan was to leave there together. And I just didn't want to cut the night extra short for Ruby, because I felt bad. Like, Ruby should have fun. Like, this thing is none of her business. And I remember when we ended up, like, trying to touch base with the other girls, they wanted to go across the street to another club, and I obviously decided to Uber instead and go home with Ruby. And this is the part which it was really kind of insane. They all said bye and hugged Ruby, and I was walking to, like, approach them and hug and say bye to them because I was right next to Ruby. But right before I could do that, they all walked away from me, specifically Jezebel and Sam, that kind of led the way, and, like, the girls kind of followed them. But when I went in to say bye and hug them, they didn't even bother to say bye, didn't say nothing to me, only to Ruby. They gave me the dirtiest of looks and just walked right out of the club and didn't even, like, acknowledge my existence or, like, said, like, get home safe or text me when you're home, like, nothing. And Ruby and I were left there. I called the Uber. Ruby at the time was, I believe, quite oblivious to the situation because she didn't get to see how Pete looked, even though she knew how he looked because of me. But I feel like if she would have seen him there, she would have been, like, mind blown, because it would have all made sense. But, or not made sense, but she would have been like, oh, is Pete, like, isn't that the guy that you were literally talking to? I just kind of took a deep breath and went back to my apartment. And the story's not over yet. So the next day, I self-reflected and I thought how insane this night was because of the girl's intentions. And I was so mind blown. I told my sister the story, and she said it could have just been all a coincidence. To not think about it too much, to not stress about it. Jezebel and Sam probably had no idea about Pete and how I used to talk to Pete. But tell me why. The very next day, I go to the girls' group chat from the night before where we all had the plans, and Jezebel and Sam both blocked me. They blocked me from their social media. I tried to text them to Apple Pay them for the Uber that we all split, and I couldn't even do that because I was blocked. I was in shock, in awe. I literally told my sister, I called my sister and I was like, you see, Malanita, like, you're trying to say that it was all in my head that Jezebel and Sam didn't bring me out to the club to, like, rub in my face that she was now talking to Pete or whatnot. But these two girls literally, I'm sure, blocked me the night that they went home from the club yesterday. And I was just so confused because things between Pete and I wouldn't say even ended bad. It was cordial. It was nothing malicious. And I haven't talked to him in a minute. And although maybe feelings for me personally were probably still there at the time, or else I wouldn't have felt this as dramatic as I'm describing it now. But I was like, Jezebel and Sam hate me. They hated me this whole entire time, especially Jezebel, because I used to talk to the guy that she's now dating. And I never did anything to these girls. I never really spoke to them. I never spoke about them till this day. I never told anyone this story. After this happened, I would see them from work events from time to time, and they would just eye me down. They gave me the dirtiest of looks, and I would say that Jezebel and Sam never, ever owed me anything. Like, we were mutual friends at this time, and yes, there's girl code, but I would have never, like, pushed that on them because I wouldn't say we were friends. We were more so mutuals, and she had every right to talk to Pete as she pleased. Never did I ever, like, expect her not to, and it was just this whole situation, how it went down, how clear their intentions were, how she had a plan and it didn't work, so she got mad. And I was starting to believe, you know, like, maybe, like, what if I'm wrong for assuming, like, these girls wanted to cause me harm emotionally, or the fact that they blocked me because they didn't get their way and they were embarrassed. But the fact that they did was just proof all along that that was their goal. And based on their personalities, how they treated me, even before the night at the club, their energy towards me was always like kind of like a fake nice. And it all kind of made sense. And I'm sure they found out about Pete and how I had kind of a little history with him based on our mutual friends. And yes, I always wondered if Pete maybe had something to do with the way that I was treated, or our mutual friends, or all of the above. Maybe he knew that she had, or was a part of, Unique, and maybe there somehow I was brought up within their conversations. But it was definitely a learning experience for me, and definitely helped me grow thicker skin. Also, for those wondering if he really worked at that club or not, I actually went to that club recently and I saw him there. So he definitely does work at that club. So for those that maybe think, like, oh, maybe he liked her or something, but he definitely did work at that club. And the aftermath was just really weird, because after they blocked me, we would have events and stuff. And we actually had an event called the Latin Night with, like, the DJs that I actually hung out with at the club that night. And of course, that night specifically, the girls were really rude to me. They would eye me down. Sometimes I would catch them from, like, my peripherals, and they would just be staring at me or giving me dirty looks, especially Sam. I feel like Jezebel was more like, she was kind of more avoidant, but Sam just made it really obvious that, like, she despised me for her best friend. And it was just weird that all of this kind of happened just because I once liked a boy that she was now talking to in present time. I'm sure that Pete maybe isn't innocent in this situation, but that's a whole other story. I still have no idea what exactly happened, but after this night at the club specifically, I found myself facing some challenges dealing with mean girls and their hurtful actions. Not words, but, like, actual hurtful actions, which I feel like it's worse. And it wasn't easy, but I decided to view it kind of like an opportunity for personal growth. And maybe when I saw Pete's name on her whiteboard, like, that was my sign to just Uber back home, go home, and this whole situation maybe could have been avoided, but I didn't. I pulled through. I went through the whole night, and that's exactly what happened. And instead chosen to embrace, like, I guess you could say, resilience, and every unkind action and stare has just become a stepping stone towards building a stronger, more confident version of myself. And I'm grateful for it looking back at it now, because although it's obviously a situation I wish I didn't experience, as when I think about like my last year of college, this story definitely comes to mind. But at least it kind of happened for the plot. And now I had like a podcast episode to talk about. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode, as I had a lot of fun telling y'all the story. And of course, I want to thank y'all so much for listening. Give me your feedbacks, your thoughts. Was Jezebel at fault? Was Sam at fault? Was Pete at fault? Was Pete the one that... was Pete the reason why this happened? Was it Ruby? Was it my mutual friends? I still don't know. It still confuses me till this day. So any thoughts y'all have would be awesome. And I'll see y'all in the next episode. Thank you for listening.